if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening to 2A Radio right here on RBN. Thank you very much to RJ Hinder, previous host on the last show. Thank you for sending your audience off to us right here on 2A Radio. Guys, on 2A Radio, and I'm going to explain this because we have a lot of new listeners that are coming in all the time. 2A Radio stands all for Second Amendment Radio. 2A, Second Amendment. 2aradio.com is the website. It's not two-way radio. It's 2A's and Second Amendment Radio.com. And my email address to send me comments about the show or anything else is bill@2aradio.com. Now, if you're going to send me a personal message directed to me directly from you, that's great. Any forwards you feel like sending, do me a favor, send them to somebody else, because I get them from several other email addresses all the time. Please do not send me forwards. Please do not put Bill at 2A Radio on a whole list of different people you're emailing stuff to, because then all I get is a whole bunch of garbage that people end up sending to me along down the line. And it is a mess. I have a lot of email that I have to go through, and that just makes it that much worse. So, Bill at 2A Radio, if you want to have a personal communication back and forth, that's great. What do we talk about here on the show? We talk about guns, gear. We talk about the right to carry. We talk about open carry, concealed carry. We talk about open carry movements. We talk about where politicians want to curb our open carry rights, where they want to curb our concealed carry rights, and also in areas of the country where they want to expand those rights and make it much less restrictive to carry your guns for personal protection. Guys, in the economy of today, police departments, sheriff's departments are laying off people left and right because they can't afford to pay them. The money's just not there. Revenues, tax revenues, all kinds of revenues are down. So that means two things. There are less cops on the street, and it's driven more people into crime. Who are you going to call? It's not Ghostbusters, guys. It's going to be Mr. Glock. It's going to be Mr. Browning when you pull your 1911. Whoever it is, it's going to be the manufacturer of the gun that you're carrying. We also talk about sporting uses of guns, but mainly it's a defensive-natured show where we go into different news articles. There's commentary. There's certainly my opinion. And then there's call-in. If at any time you feel as though you would like to call in to the show, the number here is 800-313-9443. And a lot of people listen to the archives. The archives are available on the website, 2aradio.com. And then you can go on there, you can listen to the archives. The archives are commercial-free. It gets right down to the nitty-gritty. And they're always up within about a half an hour, maybe even 20 minutes, of the show being completed for the day. So I just wanted to give you all of that background. So coming up in the rest of the show, you're going to get news, commentary, certainly my opinion on some of the things going on around the country at state and federal levels, and really see what's going on out there. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening to me right here on 2A Radio. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. Hi, guys. Welcome back from the break. Now, I don't know if anybody else experiences the same thing I do, and that is this. Those of you who drink cola, and I'm going to say specifically Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Shasta-Cola, Royal Crown Cola, I don't care what cola. Those of you who drink cola, when you go to a restaurant and you order a cola, generally you order usually what you would normally drink, or you just default to saying a Coke, right? I'm a Coke drinker. I don't like Pepsi. I'm not a Pepsi fan, but that's okay. It's fun, kind of funny, because I think the entire balance of my blood relatives, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, if any of them drink a cola, they're going to drink a Pepsi. I drink a Coke. Okay. So be it. I find the tastiest cola in the entire world is a Coca-Cola in a 16-ounce glass bottle. Nothing better to my palate. And luckily, at least for me, where I live, I can go to Costco and get a case of like 30 or 36 of these things or something, right? They're actually bottled in Mexico in the glass bottles. I don't know if they do glass bottling in the States any longer. But if I go to a Mexican restaurant in town, every Mexican restaurant in town that I go to offers these Cokes in a glass bottle. So I'll enjoy one. I try not to drink too much soda. I will have a few sodas throughout the week, but I don't have them all the time. Oftentimes when I eat dinner or lunch out, I'll have an iced tea, something like that. But occasionally I want to have a Coke. Even if it's not in a bottle, I'll just generically order whatever it is I want, Coke, Pepsi, whatever it is. And invariably, and many of you probably experience this as well if you're in the same ballpark as me, whatever you order, if you order a Coke and they serve Pepsi, the server will inevitably say, Pepsi? You get it? All right, can I get a Coke? Pepsi? Okay. Then if I go the opposite way and I order a Pepsi, they look at me and go, Coke okay? You know, I tried to beat the system by just ordering a cola. Because whatever, I don't care. I really don't care. It's coming out of a fountain. It doesn't taste the same out of a bottle or a can or anything anyhow. It's coming out of a fountain. There's mixes. There's, you know, the syrup, and then there's the carbonated soda that goes into the syrup to make it whatever it is. None of them are balanced exactly the same. No two soda fountains taste the same. They're all just a little bit different. Big deal. Big deal. So I started to try and beat the system by ordering a cola. Well, that doesn't work at all, because then no matter what they've got, they say, Coke or Pepsi okay? I don't care. I got to tell you, if I ever had a restaurant, this is what I would tell the people. Here's the cola. Here's the diet cola. Here's the un-cola, the clear stuff, the lemon-lime soda. Here's the root beer. And here's the Dr. Thunder, Mr. Pib Pepper, whatever you want to call it. There's a whole bunch of derivatives of Dr. Pepper. And here's the diet version of that as well. I don't even know if I would put the little labels on the fountain for my servers to even deal with. Only one time that I can recall, I was in a restaurant, and I wish I remembered what restaurant it was. I ordered a Coke. Maybe I ordered a cola, I forget which. And lady says, okay, takes down the order, takes everybody else's order, goes in the back. And from my position, I could actually see the soda fountain. And the soda fountain was filled with Pepsi products. So she filled it up with Pepsi and brought it to me. Which was fine. Because if she had said, is Pepsi okay? I would have said, yeah, that's fine. I don't really give a damn what it is. Bring me a cola. So, she didn't ask. She just served. And you know something? I gave her a little bit of an extra tip out of that deal, and I told her why. You didn't ask me if this cola was different than that cola. It, you know, I have only ever, one time in my entire life, ever been with somebody at a meal, and this particular guy ordered a Coke. And the lady said, is Pepsi okay? And he said, You know what? No, actually it's not. I'll take an iced tea. The reason is that guy used to serve on the board of directors for Coca-Cola. He would not drink a Pepsi product. So he wasn't going to order like something else, certainly not a Mountain Dew or something else comes out of the Pepsi stables. Right? He's the only guy. And I don't know how many former board of directors that are out there, but I could see them having their own ordering criteria. If you serve Coca-Cola products, I would like a Coke. If not, I'll take an iced tea. That would handle it. I hate being asked for the clarification of the brand of my cola. Give me a stinking cola and don't bring me the diet stuff. I want that fattening garbage. It's got taste and flavor. That diet stuff leaves a bad taste in my mouth. If all you've got is Diet Coke and regular Pepsi, bring me a regular Pepsi even though I like Diet Coke. Or bring me the Diet Coke and a bunch of sugar packets. I don't want that nasty flavor. Bring me a cola, RC, Shasta, I don't care if it's Tab. Just bring me a cola. That's just me. I get sick and tired of the excess garbage. Because what do you do at dinner or lunch? You sit there, you're having a conversation with the people that you're with. And now we're having this whole thing drawn out even longer because, would you like this brand or that? You know, bring me an RC. I actually give the servers a hard time sometimes. Can I get a Coke? Is Pepsi okay? No. All we've got is Pepsi. Well, about three doors down is a convenience store. Why don't you hobble your ass down there and grab me a Coke? Fountain Coke is fine. As a matter of fact, while you're down there, if you want to make it a fountain Pepsi, that's okay too. I don't really care. I just don't want your Pepsi. I want their Pepsi. Just bring me a cola, lady! Calling in on this ridiculous topic. Jason in Florida. Jason, are you a Coke or a Pepsi fan?
Actually, I don't care. I like them both. But I understand what you're saying. But when I was in college back in 91 at the University of Florida, actually a big case came in. They had a conference across from at the business school, and some lawyers from Coca-Cola in Atlanta were down at the conference. And it turns out they actually protect their trademark. They have to do a couple cases each year. They went into a restaurant right across the street from the business school. They ordered a Coke knowing that they served Pepsi. They gave them a Pepsi, didn't question it. They recorded the whole thing, and they actually sued them to protect their trademark. So Coke does not become a generic term like Kleenex became and other things of that nature.
I would like to shoot those attorneys right in their friggin' heads and gut them with a massive round like a 50 Action Express. That's what I'd like to do.
That's why
attorneys suck.
These restaurants get sued for stupid crap like this. But then if they don't go out and protect the trademark, then they turn around and later they call it a generic term and they lose their trademark.
Here's my way, Jason. I'm a little bit more aggressive of a person and a business owner. If I were to have Coca-Cola pull that garbage on me, I would track those attorneys down and I would beat the living hell out of them with my own bare hands. And then I would, over their wounds, I would pour bottles of Pepsi to wash the blood off. I think I would just order.
Isn't half of the crap we go through in this world because attorneys screw things up for us?
I think half is being generous, Jason. I really, honest to God, do. You know, I was actually I'm doing some of my own court related work on a matter that I've got, and I've really turned the tides on the opposite end. I won a dismissal decision, and then filed a countersuit, and I'm doing really well. I'm doing it all on my own. I've got a great guy by the name of Vlad Diaz, who's actually in Florida, that's helping me out with. He's a paralegal and kind of a hired gun in some areas, and a couple of attorneys that I know, just getting a little bit of information on filing and arguing and things. And the reason is, I don't care for attorneys. I have a couple of friends that are good attorneys, and the ones that are the better friends because they're better individuals are non-practicing attorneys. They have a law degree, but they don't actually practice. It's the guys that I know that I don't know very well that are practicing attorneys, and I don't care to hang out with them because they're kind of sleazy people.
I only know probably about 10 or 15 attorneys, and only two or three of them would I even want to be friends with.
Well, there you go. There you go. Jason,
well,
thanks for calling in, man.
I just thought you'd like that little bit of insight. It doesn't have so much to do with the restaurant, and these waiters and waitresses probably aren't told why. Their bosses just tell them, you have to tell people we serve Coke so we don't get in any trouble.
Yeah, well, then I'm going to start drinking. I'm going to start ordering an RC.
Stay away from Coke, because they're the ones that did it down in the, at the University of Florida. They went over and sued that restaurant across the street.
Still a better tasting product. I'll send them a letter. Thanks, Jason. Take care.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, just there's a couple of things at restaurants that bother me, and that's one of them. It just bring the cola. Or maybe they could say, we serve Pepsi products. We serve Coca-Cola products. Yeehaw! Why don't you put a little thing? You've got all these little table tents. Why don't you have on there like a little Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola logo? So we have a better idea. I am sick of trying to clarify that. I really am. I just, you know, if you ask me, if I order sausage at breakfast and you ask me links or patty, that I can understand. Okay? If you order hash browns, okay, would you like the cubes or the shredded? Home, you know, how would you like it? Home style or standard? Okay, I can understand that. Toast, would you like white, wheat, rye, sourdough, English muffin, bagel? I can understand that. It's a cola. I don't care. Thanks for calling in, Jason. All right, guys, stay tuned. We're going to get to some actual gun and rights-related stuff after this. I just got to vent sometimes, and that was my baby. Stay tuned. I'm your host. You're listening to me right here on 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us right now. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys, welcome back. Of course, we're all familiar with all the static going on over Arizona's anti-immigration legislation, referred to as SB 1070, which was the name the bill had when it was in the House and the Senate of the state of Arizona, blah, 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 if I can spit that out. So, of course, all we've had is a whole bunch of just absolutely pathetic numbskulls, really intellectually flaccid numbskulls in Washington, D.C., talking all kinds of smack about this law, which is four pages. And as far as we know, nobody in Washington still read it yet. They probably have now, because they've been made to look like, you know, just intellectually flaccid numbskulls. So, of course, after facing criticism on both sides, Obama and Arizona Governor Jan Brewer are supposed to meet today. Obama intends to meet with Jan Brewer today, according to a White House official, after criticism mounted over reports that the president wouldn't be able to meet her while she was in Washington this week doing, well, many different things. Brewer had requested a face-to-face meeting with Obama and Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, the former Arizona governor, as tensions rise between the Obama regime and Arizona over its controversial law clamping down on illegal immigrants. Why it's controversial, I don't know. It essentially mimics the federal law. Now, the White House denies that Obama snubbed Brewer, saying that there initially were some scheduling issues this week, and of course those have now been resolved. Yeah, that's a lie, along with this whole Pennsylvania guy running for Senate thing. The administration has dedicated unprecedented resources over the past 16 months to fulfill the federal government's responsibility to secure the Southwest border, according to a White House official. The president looks forward to discussing those efforts and other matters of mutual interest with Governor Brewer. That says absolutely nothing. Unprecedented resources. Kiss my backside. Obama continues to push for a multi-layered approach to immigration. Brewer's arrival will put the president face-to-face with the most visible exponent secure the border's first immigration policy in the nation. The meeting comes after Justice Department officials told Arizona's Attorney General and aides to the governor
this last Friday, that the federal government has serious reservations about the state's new immigration law. You don't need, go ahead. Have the serious reservations. You can't interfere. Tenth Amendment. Arizona State Senator Russell Pierce, a Republican who helped draft SB 1070, has called Obama's decision not to meet with Brewer an insult. He's willing to have a beer fest with an officer in Cambridge after he misspoke, according to Pierce, referring to the photo op the president held last summer. You remember this? After he incited a feud over the bias of a police officer who arrested a black professor who is a friend of Obama at the front door to his home after being belligerent. He misspoke on this bill also, but he's not willing to meet with the governor of the state of Arizona? Well, they obviously changed that, and Obama had blasted Arizona's immigration law, which takes effect July 29th. He called it misguided and warned that it could violate civil rights and lead to racial profiling, having not read it. You understand? The White House has indicated that it's prepared to go to court, if necessary, in a bid to block the new law, which makes it a state crime to be in the country illegally, as long as you're within the borders of the U.S. So, calling to chime in on this one, we have Joe in Illinois. Joe, welcome to 2A Radio.
Yeah, hi, Bill.
Is this the Joe I know?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, how the hell are you, man?
Good. I wasn't chiming in on this topic. I dialed as soon as I heard you mention 50 Cal Action Express in the last segment. That's a heck of a gun, and I just said about time you mentioned it.
Well, you know, and I'd have to load that 50 into probably the one of the biggest movie guns in the world, which would undoubtedly have to be the Desert Eagle.
That's it.
Yeah, and I actually, you know what's kind of funny, Joe, is I actually worked part-time at a gun store on the range when the 50 AE came out in the Desert Eagle. And there was a run on it by all the guys that have more money than common sense. And actually, they buy everything that comes out on the cover of Guns and Ammo or, you know, whatever their favorite gun magazine is. And we had a run on those things. I even saw one come in that had, you know, it wasn't fully gold plated, but it had gold plated accessories in a 50.
I just have a black one, but I bought it way back then because probably back then I had a little bit more money than I had since.
See? But, yeah, and we've all been there. I used to be there. I sold all those guns though.
But it's a fun gun. You're never going to use it for anything but target. Well, for the most part, you know, or at least they never plan on it. But just to hold the thing and I guess instead of feeling the power between your legs, I'm feeling it between my thumbs or something like that.
You know, I gotta tell you, man. Could you imagine the size of the cavernous hole that would make in the attorneys for Coca-Cola if they do that garbage in your restaurant?
Well.
I would keep a 50 round just for the beverage purveyors.
Yeah, that might be an idea. I'll let you go, but what I keep on telling people is sooner or later in this country, we're going to have to do what Russia did, and that's first thing you do is take out all the lawyers. Second thing you do is take out all the politicians.
I get those emails all the time. Thanks, Joe. Have a good one, man. I'll talk
be
to you
careful.
Soon. All right, guys. We'll be back right after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, welcome back, guys. Now, in spite of a state law in Maryland, law enforcement officials are still arresting and charging people for recording police. Now, listen to this. A Maryland man was arrested for posting a video of a traffic stop on YouTube. This guy, his name is Grabber. Grabber was pulled over on his motorcycle by a Maryland state trooper named Joseph David Uller. Now, Trooper Uller drew his gun during the stop, and Grabber was wearing a camera on his helmet. Grabber thought Trooper Uller's actions were excessive, so he posted the video on the internet. Days later, police raided the home of Grabber's parents, where Grabber was arrested, booked, and jailed. He was charged with violating Maryland's wiretapping statute. In an interview he gave to blogger Carlos Miller shortly after, Grabber said, "The judge who released me looked at the paperwork and said he didn't see where I violated the wiretapping law." Now, let's keep in mind that this is out on an open public street. All right? If there are surveillance video, audio and video at an ATM machine or for a parking lot at a store or for the parking lot of your local Stab and Grab, that's not considered wiretapping. But still out on the same street, if the cops film some sort of video of a traffic stop, that's not wiretapping. But you turn the table and now they're calling it wiretapping? Well, the judge, having said that he didn't see where Grabber violated the wiretapping law, was interpreted to mean that the judge had dropped the charges. Well, apparently that isn't the case. Grabber's due in court next week. He faces up to 5 years in prison. Now, state's attorney Joseph Casilli has also charged Grabber with possession of an interception device. That device would be Grabber's otherwise perfectly legal video camera. Possession of an interception device. Not sure what that is. Grabber's case is starting to spur some local and national media discussion. Obviously, it's here on 2A Radio. Discussion of Maryland's state's wiretapping law. Now, mentioned about a month ago in a column, Grabber's arrest came at about the same time as a guy named Jack McKenna's case broke nationally. Now, McKenna, a student at the University of Maryland, was given an unprovoked beating by police during student celebrations after a basketball game last February. McKenna could probably still be facing criminal charges, and the cops who beat him would likely still be on the beat were it not for several cell phone videos that captured his ass whipping. Now, according to Casilli's interpretation of the law, if any of those cell phones were close enough to record audio of the beating, the people who shot the videos are felons now. This is something that we, the people, absolutely, positively cannot put up with and should not put up with. And if I were in Maryland, would not put up with. We now have another video of an arrest during the Preakness Stakes in which a Baltimore police officer can be heard telling the camera holder, "Do me a favor and turn that off. It's illegal to record anybody's voice or anything else in the state of Maryland." Well, you know, if you are a member of the media, would that be against the law? Would that violate your law? Freedom of the press or the law of Maryland? Which one overtakes? The fact of the matter, what the cop told that person at the Preakness just simply isn't true. And it's outrageous that Maryland law enforcement keeps perpetuating this myth. Now, perhaps that officer was merely misinformed, but Maryland's police spokesman and prosecutors are giving the impression that the state's wiretapping law is ambiguous about recording on-duty police officers. It really isn't. They've just chosen to interpret it that way. Logic and common sense be damned. Because the cops want to be able to do what they want, when they want, without being audio or video recorded. Maryland is an all-parties consent state, which means you have to get permission from all parties to a conversation before you can record it. But unlike Illinois and Massachusetts, Maryland's law does include a privacy provision. That is, if the non-consenting party does not have a reasonable expectation of privacy with respect to the conversation that has been recorded, there's no violation of the law. State and federal courts across the country have determined that there's no reasonable expectation of privacy in public spaces. And that is why someone can snap your photo in public without your consent. Now, the whole Graber-Ulrich traffic stop would fall under the oral communication provision of the law. And here is how that statute defines that term. Oral communication means any conversation or word spoken to or by any person in a private conversation. All right. Seems pretty clear, doesn't it? But Graber's now represented by the Maryland ACLU. Yesterday, David Roach, who's handling Graber's case, said to charge Graber with violating the law, you'd have to conclude that a police officer on a public road wearing a badge and a uniform, performing his official duties, pulling someone over, somehow has a right to privacy when it comes to the conversation he has with the motorist. Of course, that ain't gonna happen. He's doing a public duty for a public entity. There is no privacy. Now, under Casilla's view of Maryland law, not only is a cop permitted to pull a gun in your face for a misdemeanor traffic offense, but his privacy rights protect you from documenting this encounter. To date, no Maryland court has ruled that a police officer has a right to privacy in his on-duty interactions with the public. The reason is, there is none. When you're on duty as a cop, you don't have any rights. You have power and authority. Your rights are suspended when you clock in. You don't have any rights in doing your duty. You're doing the duty in the name of whatever government agency pays your salary. All right? You don't have any reasonable rights to privacy. Now, this issue has been researched for a couple of months. And to the best of anybody's knowledge, no other state or federal court has ruled that an officer has any right to privacy either. Massachusetts courts have upheld the convictions of people charged with recording cops under the state's wiretapping laws, but Massachusetts does not have a reasonable expectation of privacy provision in its law. Illinois passed the toughest wiretapping law in the country, specifically because the Illinois Supreme Court ruled that cops have no right to privacy in their interactions with the public. In response, the state legislature revoked the expectation of privacy provision from the wiretapping law for the express purpose of making it illegal to record cops on the job. However, you also have to realize that Illinois is one of the dirtiest, most corrupt political systems in the entire country. They passed that law to protect themselves. Calling to chime in on this, calling from Michigan, we got Mark on the line. Mark, welcome to 2A Radio.
Hey, Bill, good show.
Thanks, man.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because I just read yesterday the Ohio Supreme Court issued a ruling where police can now issue speeding tickets simply by estimating if you were speeding. So you're going to have the lights behind you, there's no radar, and you're going to have the police come up to your window, and they're going to tell you that they have estimated that you were going 68 and a 60, and how many people are going to start having video cameras. I mean, a wise choice in Ohio would be to rig up a video camera so that every time you're driving, it's focused right on your speedometer, which would also record the traffic stop if it's made.
It's ridiculous. You know, for us to have to record ourselves to keep from being bullied by cops or anybody else is ridiculous. It really is, because that's where law enforcement comes in and policing gets pushed out. It should be policing and not law enforcement. I mean, we're here to enforce the laws on every one of you scumbag piece of garbage wannabe citizens out there, as opposed to, hey, we're here to help you guys out and make life, you know, more pleasant for you that are out there doing good things, and we're just going to handle the scumbags.
Well,
now,
you know,
it's revenue generation at this point.
But with a ruling like this, though, there is no more law. There's no more rule of evidence. The cop says you're doing 68 and a 60, and that's going to be the end of that.
It doesn't mean that you can't argue that. It doesn't mean that you can. Now, this was at the Ohio, the Supreme
the
Court
Ohio
of the state.
The Supreme Court.
Yeah, something tells me that might just get, I guess, sent to the appellate court. Somebody's probably going to appeal that, I hope. But, you know, that means they could stop and cite you for it, but that doesn't mean that you are...
I'm wondering if this is going to tie into the illegal aliens with the Arizona law, where they, the suspected the crime would be that you were, if they're going to pull people over, they were speeding. And there's the reason for pulling people over and asking for your driver's license.
Well, you never know. Here's the thing. On the street, that's probably actually going to happen. You're probably, but then again, most cops really don't care who's driving a car. It's the vehicle and what it's doing that gets your attention, not the person behind the wheel. Because I was a cop.
Well, they need the money, and so I guess this is the direction we're going to go. I'm going to let you get back onto your topics, but I thought I'd just let people know what's going on in Ohio.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you calling in on that.
Have a good one, bud. Keep it up.
All right. So this law in Maryland actually gets even more absurd than the one in Illinois in some areas. In the year 2000, Maryland Attorney General Joseph Caron Jr. was asked to issue his own opinion on whether a plan by the Montgomery County Police Department to install recording devices on patrol cars would violate the wiretapping statute. To date, Caron's opinion has not been modified or changed. Caron determined that because protocol for the plan required police officers to inform motorists that they're being recorded, it did not. But Caron, who also asked to determine what would happen if an officer inadvertently recorded someone without informing him first, Caron once again said the officer would not have violated the statute. But a footnote to that opinion included the following language. It says, "It is also notable that for many encounters between uniformed police officers and citizens could hardly be characterized as private conversations. For example, any driver pulled over by a uniformed officer in a traffic stop is acutely aware that his or her statements are being made to a public officer and, indeed, that they may be repeated as evidence in a courtroom. It is difficult to characterize such a conversation as private." Well, that's pretty easy to do. There's a piece of defense right there for the guy that had the gun pulled in his face and recorded the cop on his motorcycle. Now, I suspect most people would find this to be common sense, right? No one expects that what they say to a cop during a traffic stop to be private. But when you combine that with how some Maryland cops and prosecutors are interpreting the law, such as in the Graber case, you get a perverse result. When a cop pulls you over or detains you for questioning, he, the public servant with the badge and gun, retains a right to privacy for the encounter, but you don't. Unless they're the ones with the camera. Now, this doesn't sound like a serious misinterpretation. I'm sorry, this does not sound like a serious misinterpretation of the law. Now, does it? Now, it's apparently that the interpretation among Maryland's law enforcement officials, who are cynical, right? A cynic might themselves conclude that law enforcement officials in Maryland are reaching to the McKenna embarrassment by threatening and cracking down on anyone who videotapes on-duty cops, and they'll interpret the law whichever way they want to, at least until a court tells them otherwise. Now, whatever their motivation, whatever their legal justification is, it's all dubious. The McKenna case, where the guy got beat after the basketball game, is a strong argument in favor of more citizens monitoring of on-duty police. The police only beat the kid, then lied about it in police reports. No big deal. We beat this kid's ass, lied about it on the reports, and it's all good. Oh, somebody filmed us? Yeah, that's against the law. Forget about us beating the kid's ass, which was a violation of law and his civil rights, and lying about it on a report, malfeasance of duty. You recorded us doing all of that. Now, the security camera footage of McKenna's ass whipping, which is controlled by University of Maryland campus police, mysteriously disappeared. Wow. Conspiracy? Yet another crime. The officer in charge of the camera system is married to one of the officers involved in the beating. Oh, wow, there's something that's just coincidental. Does anyone really think that the charges against McKenna would have been dropped and the officers who beat him suspended if it weren't for the cell phone videos? No. There are strong constitutional arguments in favor of the basic right to record on-duty cops. But the prosecution of Anthony Graber is also wrong by any reasonable interpretation of the state law and by any sane concept of good public policy. This is a state that's home to the notorious Prince George County Police Department, for God's sake, the department that spent 5 years under federal oversight because of the repeated use of excessive force amongst its officers. They're beating everybody's ass. Maryland Attorney General Doug Gansler should put an end to this faux ambiguity and declare that Maryland's residents who record on-duty cops are breaking no laws, much less committing any felonies. He should also make it clear that so long as they don't physically interfere with an arrest or police action, they also are not at risk of having their record equipment confiscated or destroyed. If he doesn't, then the state legislature should step in and do it for him. Stay tuned. There's more coming after the break. We'll be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Hey guys, welcome back. I've got a good friend of mine in Colorado who is also a colleague. He is a very talented firearms instructor, range master, and very talented shooter. Matter of fact, shoots at the master level. And he's listening to the show today and sends me a text message I just got that says, I have a 50 Action Express, and I've never even shot it. Just goes to show, man. I got to tell you, 80% of the stuff in the shooting industry is designed to be sold and not used. Also out of Colorado, out of Denver, a couple was arrested for turning away a dog catcher. Listen to this. While enjoying a morning cup of coffee, Doug and Jennifer Smith heard an animal control officer knock at their door. And Doug says, I just decided I didn't want to answer the door. He continued to beat on the door. Then he left, and about 45 minutes later, the cops show up. Doug's wife said she told the police they were not welcome when they asked to come in. They asked. But officers entered through the garage and arrested the couple. Both Doug and Jennifer said that the police violently attacked Jennifer, who was pregnant at the time, and one officer pulled his baton on Doug. Now remember, they knock on the door, they ask to come in. They're told no. They don't have a warrant, there's no exigent circumstances, otherwise they wouldn't have been knocking, but they bust in anyhow. The couple was arrested and charged with interference and disturbing the peace. Disturbing the peace in their own damn home. Can you imagine this? After spending the day in jail, they were released, and the city attorney quickly dropped the charges. Now, this is a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment, according to the defense attorney, David Beller. What amazes me is we didn't do anything wrong. I had a right not to open the door, says Jennifer Smith, and she's absolutely right. Now, of course, police are not going to comment on the case. Denver Animal Control promised to look into the situation, but didn't make any follow-up to that statement. Now, the Smiths are considering a lawsuit against the city for wrongful arrest and infringement of their constitutional rights. And they absolutely should. Guys, when this sort of thing happens, and police departments fail to police their own cops and get them under control and get them the right training, When they fail to do that, we as the citizens must make examples out of the cops that do this sort of thing and the departments that fail to keep them in line. Otherwise, it's just going to get worse. What gets measured gets done. If you start to put these people in check for their illegal ways and their violation of your rights, guess what? After you make examples of them and hit them where it hurts in the pocketbook, they'll start to learn and others will avoid the pitfalls of the guys who were doing this and losing in court. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thanks for staying tuned in. Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday. I will not.